Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hey there, Herman and Corin. So as you guys know, I've been living in an urban city center for a number of years now. And I guess the experience has made me, I wouldn't say I'm anti-car because I don't like framing it so antagonistically, but I definitely don't think the cars belong in city centers. And I think that we should be doing everything in our power to encourage the use of public transport, making it reliable and good. Now, people say the public transport in Israel is really bad, and I actually take issue with that. I think it's fairly good, and it's certainly quite cheap. It's one of the few things here that's really subsidized by the government. But in what I think is the ultimate short-sighted policy that raises my blood pressure a little bit just talking about it, it feels like the authorities are doing everything in their power to make it as unpleasant as possible. I'm referring to what can only be described as a regime of intimidatory ticket inspections that has begun. I would say it began about 3 years ago. We have a semi-privatized bus system now in Jerusalem, and you have these ticket inspectors. They go around in marauding packs with their ticket machines. And my personal record is being ticketed no less than 4 times in the space of 40 minutes. That means the inspector comes up, he says, I need to validate your fare. So you show them your QR code or your ticket and they move on to the next person. Now, I guess now and again, I don't have an issue with it clamping down on fare avoidance. When it happens 2 or 3 times, every single time you take the bus, it becomes a nuisance. And I guess it sends a message that we think you're out to cheat us. So prove it that you're not. The other thing I've seen that I think I should mention, this has kind of become a new story in Israel because so many people have had unpleasant experiences like this. I frequently scan in to the bus only to be checked a minute later by a ticket inspector who saw me tap in. About 2 years ago, when I was still running my YouTube channel, I said, this is actually a good thing to do a video about, although it's laden with legal complications. And I put out a feeler. I said, if anyone's had experiences, come forward. I wasn't expecting to be inundated with responses, including from one ticket inspector who told me off the record that they were being incentivized for every single ticket that they checked. So whether they see the person tapping in or not, they've no reason other than to tap them. I never really thought, is this a worldwide thing? Certainly growing up in Ireland, taking the buses, I don't think I ever got tickets inspected. And when I visited Germany a few years ago, I was totally surprised to see not only was there no aggressive inspections. It was a totally trust system. There was no payment styles or terminals. Now, my question is, from the perspective of operators, I get it, right? They have a certain amount of people who are going to take advantage of a lax inspection regime or the absence of one. But my bigger question is this. It seems very petty to me. Unless fare evasion is a gigantic cost center for public transport operators, it seems that the deterrent effect we're creating and the often lasting negative impressions left on tourists, because frequently of tourists who don't speak Hebrew, they can't read the signage. They think they validated their ticket. They don't. And next thing they know, someone very angry speaking a foreign language is demanding payment from them and a fine and everyone's staring. And it's humiliating and that creates a lasting bad impression. So I think that I've just given you more opinion than questions. I think we're policing shackles and losing dollars. But I'd love to know, Herman and Corin, this broader question of public transport enforcement and inspection, as different cities have done it around the world. I mentioned the German case where they're relying on a trust system. They're not the only ones. I imagine those cities have determined that what they can afford, because the other thing about inspections that we have to think about in the calculus is it costs money to pay for these inspectors. It costs money to pay for ticket barriers. And I've made my perspective, I guess, pretty clear. I think that unless there's a really drastic reason to use them, I think it's a horrible idea. Herman and Corin, let's talk about ticket inspections and enforcement on public transport systems around the world. Is it turning people off, making greener decisions? Over to you two.
Hey everyone, welcome back to my weird prompts. I am Korn, and I am sitting here in our living room in Jerusalem with my brother. It is Sunday, February 1st, 2026, and the winter sun is actually hitting the stone walls outside quite nicely today.
Herman Poppleberry, at your service. It is a beautiful day, Korn, but as you know, we have a topic today that has been a major thorn in the side of anyone trying to navigate this city lately. It is a local issue with massive global implications for how we think about the future of our cities.
It really is. Our housemate Daniel actually sent us this prompt. He has been living in the Jerusalem city center for a few years now, and he has been thinking a lot about the friction points in public transport. Specifically, the ticket inspectors here. Daniel mentioned a personal record that sounds like a nightmare. He was ticketed 4 times in 40 minutes. Not because he did not pay, but just because of the sheer density of the enforcement.
4 times in 40 minutes. That is not just enforcement, that is a gauntlet, and it raises a profound question about urban design. If we want people to ditch their cars for buses and light rails to save the planet, why are we making the experience so stressful? Daniel used a phrase that I think is going to be the theme of today's episode. He called it policing shekels and losing dollars.
It is a perfect summary. We are talking about the trade-off between strict, almost military-style enforcement, and the overall health and attractiveness of a transit system. Today we are going to look at why these inspections feel so aggressive, the actual math behind them, how cities like Berlin or New York are struggling with the same issues in 2026, and whether this is actually a barrier to green urban living.
Let us start with the local context, because it is what sparked this. Jerusalem has a very specific setup. It is a semi-privatized system. You have companies like EGD, which is the giant, but also Superbus and Electra, Afakim. The government sets the fares, but the operations are private. And about 3 years ago, we saw this massive shift toward open boarding. You do not pay the driver anymore. You validate your own ticket at a machine or on an app like Move It or the National Zoos app.
Which, in theory, is great. The bus moves faster because the driver is not fumbling with change. But it created what Daniel calls the marauding packs of inspectors. Herman, you were looking at the numbers on this. Is it actually profitable for these companies to have 5 guys in neon vests jumping on every bus?
That is the irony, Korn. Recent data from 2024 and 2025 shows that for many of these operators, the cost of the inspection system actually exceeds the revenue from the fines. For example, one of the light rail operators in the center of the country reported spending about 500,000 shekels a month on supervision, while only collecting about 75,000 shekels in fines. They are losing money to catch people who are not paying.
So why do it? If you are losing 400,000 shekels a month just to police the system, why not just not do it?
Because the state requires it. The government funds about 70% of public transport costs in Israel, and they want to ensure that the remaining 30% from fares is actually collected. But here's where Daniel's point about incentives comes in. He spoke to an inspector off the record who said they are incentivized for every ticket they check. While the companies often officially deny a per-fine commission, the performance metrics for these private security firms are often tied to the volume of interactions. If you are a private contractor, you justify your contract by showing how many people you caught or how many tickets you scanned.
And that leads to the high cortisol environment. You're a student or a grandmother or a tourist, and suddenly 5 men block the exits and start demanding your phone or your card. It feels predatory, and the fines are not small. A bus fine is 100 shekels, which is about $27. On the light rail, it is 180 shekels. If you are a tourist who did not realize you had to hit a second confirm button on an app, that is a very expensive mistake.
And that is the losing dollars part. If a tourist has that experience on day one, they are done with the bus. They will spend the next week in Ubers and taxis. The city collects $27 in a fine, but loses hundreds of dollars in potential transit revenue. And, more importantly, they lose the reputation of being a world-class, welcoming city.
It is a narrow-minded view of success. But let us look abroad. Daniel mentioned Germany. For a long time, Germany was the poster child for the trust-based system, the Ehrenwort or word of honor. How is that holding up in 2026?
It is in a state of transition. Germany introduced the Deutschland ticket in mid-2023, which was a huge hit. It started at 49 euros for unlimited travel nationwide. but as of January 2026, the price has climbed to 63 euros a month. Because the price is rising, there is more pressure to ensure people are actually paying. However, the philosophy is still fundamentally different from Jerusalem. In Berlin or Munich, there are still no turnstiles. You just walk onto the U-Bahn. The friction is zero.
But if the price is 63 euros and there are no gates, what stops everyone from just riding for free?
It is a mix of social contract and math. German planners have historically argued that the capital cost of installing and maintaining physical barriers like gates is higher than the loss from fare evasion. If your evasion rate is 5%, but the gates cost 10 million euros to install and 1 million a year to fix, you are better off just accepting the 5% loss. It is a more mature way of looking at a public good.
Contrast that with New York City. I was reading about their new fare gates. They spent over $1 billion on these high-tech barriers to replace the old turnstiles, and the news this month is full of people just jumping over them anyway. They are calling it the Fare Evasion Olympics on social media.
Exactly. The MTA in New York has reported significant losses to fare and toll evasion. Their response was to build a fortress. But when you build a better wall, people just build a better ladder. In New York, fare evasion remains a substantial problem. And yet, they are pouring money into police and private security for the subways while the buses struggle with similar challenges. It is the definition of a system in crisis.
So you have Jerusalem with aggressive human inspectors, New York with billion-dollar gates that do not work, and Germany trying to maintain a trust system while prices rise. Is there a middle ground? What about the ambassador model?
San Francisco is the interesting case study there. They have had a transit ambassador program for years. The idea is that the person in the vest is not a bounty hunter, they are a helper. Their job code 9166 in the city system is about assisting passengers, giving directions, and helping people use the payment machines. If they see someone who did not pay, the interaction is educational rather than punitive. They realized that the legal cost of processing a $50 fine often exceeded the $50. So they shifted the goal from punishment to compliance through kindness.
I love that. It changes the whole vibe of the city. Instead of feeling like a potential criminal, you feel like a customer being served. But let us get to the green aspect of this. Daniel's prompt asked if this aggressive enforcement is turning people off from making greener decisions. If I have a car in the driveway, and I know the bus involves a potential confrontation with a pack of inspectors, why would I ever take the bus?
You hit on the psychological concept of the modal shift. To get people out of cars, the alternative has to be better, not just cheaper. A car is a private, low-stress environment. If the bus is a high-stress environment where you are constantly looking over your shoulder to make sure your app did not glitch, you will choose the car every time. There was a study in Europe showing that while heavy inspection does lower fare evasion, it also lowers overall ridership. You are essentially cleaning the guest list by burning down the house.
It is the atmosphere of suspicion. It breaks the relationship between the citizen and the state. If the city treats me like a thief, I stop feeling like a stakeholder in the city. I stop caring about the bus. I stop caring about the transit lanes. It becomes us versus them.
And we have to talk about the digital divide. In Jerusalem and many other cities, we have moved to a digital-first payment system. But what if your phone dies? What if the GPS on the bus is off and the app cannot find your location? In a high-trust system, the inspector says, "Oh, I see the system is down, no worries." In the Jerusalem system Daniel described, where they are incentivized by the check, they do not care if the app glitched. They just see a red screen and issue a fine.
It is the valley of frustration. We have the technology to track everything, but we do not have the wisdom to use it for the benefit of the passenger. We use it to make the trap more efficient. So, Ehrman, what about the nuclear option? Free public transport. Luxembourg did it, Tallinn did it. Is that the only way to truly lose the friction?
It is the ultimate friction-free model. In Luxembourg, public transport has been free for the past 6 years, since March 2020. No tickets, no inspectors, no gates. The results are fascinating. It did not magically solve traffic congestion overnight because people still love their cars, but it massively increased the mobility of lower-income residents and students. More importantly, it completely removed the administrative cost of enforcement. You do not need to pay 1,000 inspectors 10,000 shekels a month if there is no fare to collect.
That is a huge point. In Jerusalem, we have nearly 1,000 inspectors. If each one makes 10,000 shekels a month, that is 10 million shekels a month just in salaries. That is 120 million shekels a year. You could buy a lot of electric buses with 120 million shekels.
Exactly. This is the policing shekels and losing dollars math. We spend a fortune to protect a relatively small stream of revenue, and in doing so, we make the service less attractive to the very people we need to attract to meet our climate goals. Jerusalem is actually planning to have all new buses be electric by this year, 2026. But an electric bus that is empty because people are afraid of the inspectors is not helping the environment.
So, if we are looking for a solution that is not just making everything free, because we know the political hurdles, there are huge, what does a better system look like? How do we fix the Jerusalem model?
First, you change the incentives. You stop rewarding inspectors for the number of fines or checks. Instead, you reward them for the validation rate of the bus as a whole. If an inspector gets a bonus because 98% of the people on their route paid, their goal becomes helping that last 2% pay rather than catching them. They become teachers. They show the tourist how to use the app. They help the elderly person tap their card.
Second, you make the payment invisible. We are seeing this in London with contactless payment. You do not need an Oyster card or an app. You just tap your credit card or your watch on the way in. It removes the excuse of "I did not know how to pay." If the friction is zero, the evasion rate naturally drops, because most people are not looking to steal a 5-shekel ride. They are just frustrated by a bad interface.
And third, you have to have a human-centric appeal process. Right now, if you get a fine in Jerusalem, the process to appeal it is famously opaque and difficult. It feels like the system is designed to make you just give up and pay the 100 shekels. A city that cares about its citizens would make it easy to say, "Look, my phone died. Here is my history of paying every other day for 3 years." A little bit of grace goes a long way in building civic trust.
It really does. It is about the philosophy of the city. Do we want a city of control or a city of trust? The most successful cities in the world, the ones that consistently top the quality of life charts, places like Vienna or Zurich, tend to have these seamless, trust-based systems. There is a direct correlation between how a city treats you on the bus and how you feel about your life in that city.
It is a feedback loop. Trust breeds trust. If the city treats you like a valued passenger, you want to support the system. You want to pay your fare because you see the value. But if you are checked 4 times in 40 minutes, you start to view the city as an adversary. You start looking for ways to beat the system because the system is trying to beat you.
I think about Daniel's experience every time I see those neon vests now. It is such a waste of human energy. Those 1,000 inspectors could be transit ambassadors. They could be helping with urban greening. They could be doing literally anything else that adds value to the city instead of just creating stress.
It is a choice we make as a society. We choose what to prioritize. Right now, we are prioritizing the shekel at the expense of the dollar or the euro or the pound. We are so focused on the immediate revenue that we are ignoring the long-term cost of a car-dependent, high-stress, low-trust urban environment.
Well, this has been a much deeper dive than I expected when Daniel first sent that text. Herman, I am glad we looked into the global context. It makes our local frustrations feel like part of a much bigger conversation about what it means to live in a 21st century city.
Absolutely. And for our listeners, we want to hear from you. What is the vibe in your city? Are you living in a transit utopia, or are you dodging inspectors in your own version of the Fare Evasion Olympics? Let us know.
You can reach out to us through the contact form at myweirdprompts.com. We love getting these specific, local prompts that open up into these massive topics. And if you are enjoying the show, please leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It really helps us grow and keep these deep dives going.
It really does. And a huge thanks to Daniel for the prompt. Hopefully, your next bus ride is a bit more peaceful.
I am going to head out now. I have to catch the bus to the other side of town. I have my RavCav ready, my app is open, and my phone is at 100% charge. I am as ready as I can be.
Good luck, Korn. May the inspectors be in a teaching mood today. Until next time, everyone.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks for listening.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.